Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Grasim Industries Q4 and FY23 year-ended conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Panchmatia, Head, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Tanvi. Thank you all, and good afternoon to everyone for joining us today to discuss Grasim financial results for quarter four and full financial year ended 31st March 2023. Trust everyone got chance to look at the financial statements and quarterly presentation uploaded on the exchanges and also available on our website. As you are aware, we don't provide specific earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be constructed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The same is also highlighted in the last slide of our presentation. Additionally, for reference purposes, the recording and the transcript would be available on the site. We welcome our leadership team on this call to discuss and share key updates on our financial results, business, and segment-wise performance. We have with us today Mr. H.K. Agarwal, Managing Director, and Mr. Pavan Jain, Chief Financial Officer. Also joining the call, we have leadership team from key businesses. We have Mr. Himanshu Kapania, Business Head, Paints Division, Mr. Jayant Dhobley, Business Head, Chemicals, Fashion Yarn and Insulators Business, and Mr. Rakshit Hargave, CEO of Paints Business. I now hand over the call to Mr. Pavan Jain for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ankit, good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to discuss our annual performance as well as quarter four results discussion. First, I would like to give some highlights on our annual numbers, and then we would cover key aspects for the quarterly performance. As you are aware, the macro global environment of our businesses has been very volatile in the year gone by due to various factors such as energy prices and inflation rates shooting up globally, demand slowdown across global markets, supply chain disruptions, et cetera. The results for financial year 2023 are to be seen in this background. Despite the challenging macro environment, FY23 is a momentous year for Grasim. We have achieved various milestones, and we hope to continue this momentum in FY24. We have constantly demonstrated growth on YOY basis and achieved highest ever consolidated revenue of over rupees 1 lakh crore in this year. The CAGR in consolidated revenue and EBITDA over FY20 to FY23 stood at 16% annually. The consolidated level, UltraTech, Aditya Birla Capital, and Aditya Birla Renewables have added to the strong growth of the underlying standalone businesses. A key point to highlight is the reported PAT vis-à-vis the comparable PAT of the previous period. The standalone as well as consolidated PAT for last financial year, that is FY22, needs to be adjusted for the exceptional items, tax-related write-backs, and profit from discontinued operations accounted in the last year. Working off these adjustments have been shared in our presentation. Also, costs in the current year are elevated due to the initial costs of our high-growth new businesses, which impact the overall profitability. On standalone basis as well as we have achieved highest ever revenue for FY23 of rupees 26,840 crore. Standalone EBITDA for the year stood at 4,200 crore rupees. Over the same period of FY20 to FY23, the standalone revenue recorded a growth rate of 19% CAGR and 18% PAT. Furthermore, over the past decade, we have multiplied revenue by 5.6 times and EBITDA have multiplied by 4.2 times. The growth under dynamic macroeconomic conditions clearly demonstrate driving forces of the unified approach of five pillars of our strategy, namely leadership across businesses, constant product and process innovations, increase our sustainability quotient, capital allocation to build high growth businesses, and constantly work for and maintain cost leadership. The highest ever revenue at standalone level is largely driven by strong growth in two large segments, which is viscose and chemicals. Viscose business achieved highest ever sales volumes during the year on the back of strong domestic demand. Chemicals also posted its best ever year on the back of stable demand and historically high realizations. Textile business has achieved its highest ever revenue again, largely driven by linen business. Linen Club, which is the India's premium linen brand, has been increasing its presence across India with 210 exclusive brand outlets versus 186 in FY21 and 168 in FY22. The presence across MBOs also increased now to over 8,000 touch points. The premium fabric brands under Soktas and Giza House are other scalable opportunities on the retail side. Furthermore, on the brand side, we would like to highlight that there are multiple brands which we have created across various categories of viscose, chemicals, and will be now doing so for paints. In viscose, we were able to create that full demand positioning, Liva as a premium, sustainable, under consciously fashion category. Liva is also associated through co-branding with some of the finest brands across the world. There are also well-established brands like Ultratech and Aditya Birla Capital, which are created by our key subsidiaries, which play big in your life. Responsible corporate has been key motive where Grasim continues to work and amplify its efforts through its sustainability goals and agenda. Given the complex and intensive manufacturing processes, we highlight Grasim has been able to make a sizable impact in FY23. We have been able to reduce fresh water consumption intensity by 15% compared to FY22. The GHG emissions intensity has been also reduced by 6% compared to baseline year of FY19. This is despite the increased capacities over the same period, and contribution from renewable energy improved by 3 percentage points from 5% in FY22 to 8% in FY23. On the innovation side, we continue to provide market with differentiated sustainable solutions to drive its goals towards conscious fashion. For instance, there has been continuous progress on developing MMCF, that is man-made cellulosic fiber, from the textile waste. Commercial production of Liva Revivo viscose from 30% textile waste was achieved on one of the large VSF lines. Likewise, commercial production of lyocell fiber was achieved with up to 31% of raw material being textile waste. Now coming to the performance of quarter 4 of the year, consolidated revenue stood at its highest level of 33,462 crore rupees, recording a growth of 16% YOY. Revenue from significant subsidiaries Ultratech and Aditya Birla Capital grew by 20% and 23% respectively. We believe that our key subsidiaries are direct beneficiaries of India's expanding infrastructure, growing financialization, and growing demand for renewable energy. Consolidated EBITDA stood at ₹4,873 crore, recording a growth of 5% YOY, largely due to performance from Ultratech and Aditya Birla Capital. Standalone businesses revenue was up by 7% at ₹6,646 crore compared to ₹6,196 crore in Q3 of this year. Standalone EBITDA degrew 6% QOQ to 542 crore compared to 580 crore in previous quarter. At segmental level, viscose has sequentially recovered at a faster pace, and we have exited the quarter at the month high level, quarter high level. The effective Q4 EBITDA was impacted by exceptionally subdued conditions of Q3, which continued in the initial period of current quarter. However, there remains a continuous improvement month over month in the quarter gone by. The utilization levels are near to highest levels. Demand recovery has also resulted in China inventories reaching below their 3-year average of 23 days, which reflects well-balanced demand-supply situation currently. Viscose revenue during the current quarter grew by 18% QOQ to ₹3,760 crore, while combined EBITDA for the VSF and VF pipe businesses put together showcased sharp sequential recovery due to VSF now reverting back to the profitability compared to EBITDA loss in Q3. Global caustic market remains oversupplied due to higher operating rates and lower demand. On similar lines, Indian chlor-alkali market also remained oversupplied due to incremental capacities. The CFR-SEA prices of caustic soda corrected by 25% QOQ and 28% YOY during the quarter four, and these are the lowest prices since September 2021. While the impact of the same could come with a lag, the current quarter revenue degrew by 4% YOY to ₹2,397 crore compared to ₹2,487 crore in Q4 FY22. The mix has further changed in favor of the chlorine derivatives with an increased revenue contribution of 100 BPS QOQ and YOY. To further enhance our focus on chlorine derivatives, we have acquired the required land at Vilayat adjacent to our existing plant for setting up manufacturing facilities in due course. In next 3 years, chlorine integration would be 72% compared to 60% for FY23. Contribution from specialty chemicals segment improved based on improved demand and softening raw material prices. Revenue performance from textile remained stable at ₹520 crore for this quarter, recording a growth of 8% YOY, largely driven by strong underlying demand from the wool and linen businesses. However, the profitability for the current quarter was impacted due to exceptional rise in the flex prices, which is the raw material for our linen business. The B2B e-commerce opportunity is big and scalable. We aim to be a meaningful player in due course of time in the segment of marketplace for building materials. We are on track to launch full-scale operations in Q2 FY24, beginning from cities in the state of Maharashtra and MP, and plan to cover major part of the country in due course. The excitement is at peaks across with regards to launch our paints business, which is now just 3 quarters away. The segment is big, whereby it can accommodate multiple players, where we aim to be a second largest player in Indian organized decorative paint market. The CapEx spend is also progressing on expected lines and would be at peak of its requirements in the current and next year. Simultaneously, activities for business plan implementation are also progressing well for commercial launch in Q4 FY24. Coming to the balance sheet, the capex for FY23 was largely towards chemicals and paints. Next year, there would be accelerated capex, which would be undertaken for future accelerated growth of the company. To fund the same, the company has already entered into long-term loan agreements of this 5,000 crore. As of 31st March 2023, company's standalone net debt stood at ₹1,780 crore. Excluding our investments in the high-growth businesses, the existing businesses continue to remain free cash flow positive. We will share the capex plan for the current financial year, that is FY24, once the same is finalized and approved by the board. I would stop here on the update side and would like open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Naveen. Yes.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was on the viscose segment, where in slide 17 of your presentation says that price movement for grade VSF is up 4% quarter on quarter, and even the March exit is nearly 2% better as compared to the average for Q4. But when I do the same arithmetic for the reported revenues and the volumes, sequentially I see a drop of almost 5%. So if you could just help us understand the reconciliation as to are we missing anything this particular point here. Thank you.
Naveen, this is HK Agarwal. This slide, what you are referring is the China index price, gray VSF, reported by CCF, China agency which publishes weekly information on various fibers. So in China, it is Q on Q, but that many times this price is not reflected exactly in the same way in all the markets. So there were many things happening, and in Indian market or in export market, because of various other macro factors, this did not reflect in the same way. Actually, you are right in your analysis that there is a slight reduction in the price realization in the quarter four. So your analysis is right in that sense.
So obviously, my question then would be, in the current quarter also, do we continue to see that pinch, that lag versus global prices, or it can then has the tendency to reverse back or come back to mean that much faster?
In China also, prices have corrected to some extent, and in India also, prices have moved to some extent convergence. So these are dynamic things. So prices are now more or less in the similar direction, I will say, for the time being, current period.
I'll just want to ask a slightly longer, horizon question here, because I look at your EBITDA, let's say viscose EBITDA per kg from FY03, okay, until 23. If I look at that, average is more like 25. Or over definitely 22, 25 rupees per kg. I think currently we are more averaging like 5 or 6, if I'm not wrong, for the latest quarter, or in that range of 5 to 7. So when can we expect these average EBITDA per kg go back to those long-term average of, if not 20, at least 15, 17 from the current levels, please?
It is going to take some time. I don't want to sound very pessimistic or optimistic. Those levels have different era, and the current era is very different. In those periods, we had import duty, we had anti-dumping duty in India. China had not have so many players. The capacity has been added, and so many things. But the current situation is distorted by another side of the equation, that is cost inputs of viscose making, like pulp, caustic, sulfur, coal, all had gone up very high. So slowly these things are getting corrected. So that will help to restore the margins. And prices are also going to improve in due course, but currently the macroeconomic factors, the demand and all these things are greatly disturbed. So these are not normal times. So we also work to get those kind of margins back. That will be wonderful. But I think it will be not practical to expect 25 rupees kind of margin in immediate near future.
So clearly, I think the removal of anti-dumping duty is having an impact in the domestic market, and then hence a profitability versus the past could see challenges to get back to the longer-term average.
To some extent, yes, but then there were a lot of disturbances. Shipping rates were very high, imports were expensive. Now shipping rates have come back to normal. So many moving pieces in the whole game. So this is very cyclical business. The cost, the prices move very fast. So the cycles will continue to operate. And cotton prices also were very high until May last year, and then cotton prices crashed, so that affected all the fiber prices also. And in due course, cotton prices will also get back to normal levels. They will pull up all the fiber prices also. So there are many, many factors influencing the both price as well as the cost side, which determine the margin.
Just to add, Naveen, you see, these are very, challenging times, in the sense the global developed markets have the negative consumer sentiments, the inflation rates shooting up, affecting the consumer sentiments, etc. And you also have to see that all the Chinese players are currently making losses in VSF business. So that situation cannot continue for long. And if you look at the numbers, even as recent as Q1 of FY23, our margins were very good. I think in excess of 20 rupees a kg.
Yeah.
So the situations are very volatile currently. So it is not that we will not achieve those numbers, the current cycle is a kind of difficult cycle, in the sense energy and the input prices are up and realizations are down. So we have the double whammy kind of situation. We don't think that this is a permanent kind of situation.
Get it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav G. Moria from Annual Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So just continuing with the earlier question, so if you rightly explained on the realization side for the VSF, but if you can just explain on the raw material side, because we have seen the pulp prices correcting sharply from March onwards. So if you can explain us what were the average pulp cost for us in Q4, and when can the benefit of this reduced pulp prices could accrue to Grasim, that is one. B, on the caustic soda side also, because caustic soda prices have further corrected from March, April onwards. So how does the contract for caustic soda happens for the VSF division within Grasim? And third would be the premium for the value-added VSF. So what I could find is that the premium from last one or two quarters have shrinked. It has further shrinked in Q4. So was that one of the reason why the profits per kg had an impact in Q4? So this is on the VSF side, sir.
Okay. So I will touch the premium on VAPS first. So there was some reduction in the VAPS premium, but it is within the very small range. So that is not really a big factor. But the main thing was the VAP demand was also impacted because of the global macro situation. The Europe, America, all those places, the consumer spending, discretionary consumer spending has been impacted very severely. So the VAPs go in more expensive kind of garments, so their demand was impacted by value brands.
Okay.
The premium on VAPs was little bit down, but not significantly. So that is not a matter of great concern.
Okay.
The caustic transfer prices are based on the market prices. So we follow previous month's average market price, and that is the transfer price for the next coming month.
Okay.
It is done on a consistent basis for all the caustic transfer. So that is market driven. So we get the 1 month lag from the current spot prices. And yes, costly prices are coming down, so that is reflecting in the lower cost of production on the fiber side. That is true.
Correct. And sir, on the pulp side?
Pulp side, see, the highest pulp prices had gone to about $1,200 per ton sometime last year.
Yeah.
But now they are hovering at about $900. So our cost of pulp is at $900 now currently.
Correct. So was it the same levels in Q4 also? So from Q4 till now, the prices have not further fallen?
No. We have some long-term agreements where we follow previous quarter's price, and those we have now made some adjustment to reflect the current prices quicker than one quarter lag. So currently, quarter four, I will say, from now onwards, prices will reflect 1 month lag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. So second is on the chemical side. So if we see on the chemical profitability, I think our ECU was down close to 4.5 rupees. And similar is the fall in our profitability if we do some reverse calculation. So just wanted to understand on the cost part. So if you can just help us explain, what was the average cost of power for us for the caustic business in Q4 and for FY23? So, and has that cost coming down because now the coal cost has fallen? Even if you can just help us explain our external power cost, what we purchase from the grid. So, because just wanted to understand from you that because the realizations have fallen, how much of the cost savings we can work with going forward, based on our cost of power metrics?
So maybe a couple of points, right? So the biggest impact on profitability really has to do with the caustic price.
Yeah.
So earlier Pavanji mentioned that the international prices have dropped by a significant amount.
Yeah.
So has the domestic prices, right?
Correct.
And that is the main reason actually why the caustic profitability has dropped.
True.
Second most important reason it has dropped is actually lower demand in downstream chlorine industries. So a lot of downstream chlorine industries are dependent on textiles, on agrochem, on aluminium refining, and all these industries are actually slowing down, which is resulting in a higher negative chlorine. So these are actually the two most significant factors for drop in our caustic profitability. The power rate, to be very honest with you, is a marginal issue here. Our blended rate has not really changed much between the last several quarters. It's at the rate of, maybe 7.3 to 7.5 rupees per kilowatt hour.
Okay.
I think it would be somewhat more detailed to get into what is captive, what is not, because one of our value proposition to the market is we are a pan-India player, right? We are the only player in India that can supply caustic in the east, in the west, in the south. And each of these areas have their own coal cost, they have their own transport cost. So to look at power in isolation doesn't really give the full picture, right? So if you really want to understand our business, you have to understand that we serve caustic across multiple segments in all geographies. We are a leader, for example, in providing caustic to the mining segment in the east, right? And those are more important profit drivers. I would say power cost we manage. We continue to focus on renewables, and changes in that is actually not the significant impact for us.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you for answering the questions in detail, and sir, I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good morning. Good evening, sir. My first question is on your paint segment. So with now 25% of the capex behind and like commodity cost generally coming down globally, so is this 10,000 crore of capex plan which we have for paint, is this the firm capex or is there some revision which could be possible in this number? And a related question is on you have earlier in like couple of calls back you indicated your peak net debt to EBITDA at 2.7 for the overall business including potential losses in early years for paint segment. With the significantly slower improvement in standalone business ongoing, is there a revised number which we can look at of peak net debt to EBITDA for ongoing CapEx?
Good afternoon, Pradeep. This is Himanshu. There is no change in guidance as far as CapEx of paint business is concerned. We maintain the same numbers. I'll hand it over to Pavin.
Yeah, so this net debt to EBITDA, no, you see, it will depend upon the actual CapEx spend and the EBITDA, how it performs over the quarters. So this 2.7 or whatever number we have shared is not a static number. But yes, the 31st March 23 is 0.4 is net debt to EBITDA, which of course will move up as the CapEx spending goes up and we borrow for CapEx going forward.
Ballpark, but it should ideally be higher from here, right? From 2.7 because the profitability has in ongoing business seems significantly more subdued and prolonged.
So right now, if you say yes, today it looks like that, yes, it will go up, but we don't know after two quarters how the business is performed. So if suppose VSF and our chemical businesses are back to normal levels, then it may not change significantly.
Right. Now, on other segment questions, VSF and chemical, based on, so both the segments have clearly seen decline in cost environment.
Yes.
And VSF is also, as you said, the improvement in pricing also and demand internationally. So both of these segments should have seen like a sort of a bottom profitability in this quarter or like next, I mean, going forward, I mean, so VSF seems like a bottom, but is the chemical profitability should also reverse from here?
So again, see, I think that will depend upon how the global prices move, etc. See, what is in our control is the cost. So what we are doing is that, see, we are increasingly, sourcing more and more renewable power, which is cheaper power. Wherever we are possible, we are enhancing our power capacity. In Vilayat, we are enhancing our captive power plant capacity. So on the cost front, we are doing various initiatives. Chlorine side, we are taking initiatives where we are increasing the chlorine integration level. So all those things are there. One additional aspect is like phosphoric acid plant, which was not operational in the Q4, is now operational. So possibly, yes, we can say that it is bottomed out, but everything again depends upon the global prices as well as the impact of the same in the Indian markets.
Yes, Jayant Dubey here. I want to add further on what Pavanji said. So look, you know, chemicals is a portfolio, right? So example, if you look at quarter four, our specialty business, mainly based on epoxy resins and hardeners, actually doubled in profitability year over year, right? So you can hardly call a bottom there, right? Similarly, if you look within caustic, we also have a large chlorine derivative portfolio. As Pavanji mentioned earlier, our phosphoric acid plant, we had to take a shutdown that has restarted. So I think it would be somewhat difficult to predict a bottom or a top for the chemical business given the portfolio impact that is, right? I think what we can say is that demand continues to remain subdued broadly across the portfolio. There are certain bright spots in it. Maybe there are certain less bright spots in it. But it's not correct to call a bottom, and it's also not correct to say that, you know, it's going to dramatically drop through, right? That's also not the case.
And in VSF's case, is there any update on anti-dumping duty review by government?
The DGTR had recommended imposing anti-dumping duty on imports from Indonesia and China, but the finance ministry did not accept, or they did not act on that, so that recommendation lapsed after 60 days period. So, as a matter of fact, as a result of that, there is no anti-dumping duty on VSF currently.
Okay, so basically it's not moving forward, review is not moving forward, it's gone back to...
Not immediately, yeah, they will not do it immediately, and we also do not have any new information to submit immediately, so DGTR can only recommend, and then rest is somewhat policy matter or the way finance ministry looks at the thing. The Ministry of Textile has introduced the quality standards for VSF imports. So for the time being, like until then they certify all the exporters, those exporters cannot send VSF to India. So that is kind of reducing the imports of VSF into India for the time being.
Okay, and this is last question.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Please join the queue back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is on the volumes of both the divisions. In the past, we've operated both the units at more than 95% utilization. This year, both the units are in the 80s. We are also having this expansion at the chemical division. So from a volume growth and utilization point of view, any direction you would like to give for FY24?
So for VSF, we are now operating at high 90s or mid 90s. So mid 90s, 93-94% capacity utilization. And we believe that we should be able to maintain at that level. Going forward. But again, the market remains very uncertain, so many macro level uncertainties, all energy price, Ukraine-Russia war, China-US issue, US banking crisis. So everything has some bearing on the textile market in general. So we are all subject to all those things. But for the time being, we are operating at 90-plus capacity level.
Coming to chemicals business, we have reported 89%. And by the way, I do believe that our utilization is still better than most of our peers. So I think that is what you need to compare against. You mentioned about the new investments. So I would just like to kind of remind you that the investments, for example, which are coming up in the next couple of quarters, frankly, relate to our epoxy business in Vilayat, which is not only completely utilized, but actually, you know, making good profit. There are some brownfield expansions coming, as we have reported, for example, on our Bibipuram site, which is in the south of India, which is a market that is undersupplied from a caustic perspective. A lot of caustic moves from west to east. So we don't really see utilization challenges due to demand side on caustic. Some of our investments actually are coming in our epoxy business. But we do see that the end market for chlorine downstream industries needs to pick up, and it will pick up because many of them supply to a lot of basic industries such as dye intermediates, pharma, etc. So we don't see significant downside risk to our capacity utilization.
Okay, got it. So second question is with respect to CapEx. Now, this year also we've spent somewhere around 2,000 crores in the existing VSF and chemical business. Pending CapEx for these brownfield and debottlenecking is left, which would be spent in FY24. And VSF, are we considering any upstream expansion, brownfield or anything, given we are reaching high utilization for the past expansion?
So, the major part of VSF business capex was completed with the completion of our Vilayat expansion. Now, some investments are going on with the debottlenecking of our XL lyocell fiber capacity. That is coming to, that will be complete in the coming quarter, by end of this quarter or mid of next quarter. So that is not a big capex anyway. And then there are certain other environment related and cost improvement projects. Now, as we are utilizing high capacity, we still will work to increase the productivity of our existing plants. We will try to produce, sweat the assets harder. And we are also planning some capacity addition for lyocell fiber plant, but still it is at the planning stage. But we will finalize our plan soon.
I just mentioned in the to the previous caller, you know, that the main capex in the short term that is coming up is, in fact, our epoxy expansion in Vilayat. Next to that is our brownfield expansion for caustic at our Bipipuram site. And then there are some other smaller projects in chlorine derivatives, whether that's polyaluminium chloride or monochloroacetic acid and those types.
Sir, I missed the number. Did you share any number?
So we are still working out for numbers of all the businesses for the current financial year. So as I mentioned in the opening remarks, we will come back to you with the numbers once the overall number, capex number for the company level numbers are finalized.
So just some clarification on the paints division, the 7,500 which is approximately left. We said we'll accelerate. So this pending capex will be spent over what period? So is it two and a half years?
So we are on track on the project. We will consistently maintain that we'll be launching our services in quarter four. And we are on track of building our 6 plants. So our initial guidance, we are on track on the initial guidance.
So the plant, all plant capex will be done for the paints in next financial year, by next financial year, by FY25. So the major capex will be done by end of FY25. The small leftover items may be carried forward in the next year. Otherwise, 24 and 25 will be the larger part will be completed.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. Hope I'm audible. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, sir. On my question is on paint. Given that Asian paint is more strong and rests in the south region, from a go-to-market approach, how do we plan to take it up market region by region, just any flavor that you can share? And to that end, have you started building our network and dealer empanelment as well? Any comments on the progress would be helpful.
So this is Rakshit. Let me take this answer. So we have obviously studied all competition, including the market leader, and we have a clear view of what are our key tasks, whether it is east, west, north, and south. And as you would understand, like we are giving updates on our capex progress, obviously the work in terms of meeting the trade, meeting the dealers, trying to understand, collecting data is also all going on track in line with our proposed launch.
Thank you. The current participant is not in the queue. We'll move to the next participant. From the question is from the line of Sarfaraz Bhimani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure, sir. So my question was in continuation of the paints discussion that we are having. So first clarification I wanted is in terms of capex that you said. So the plants capex will get done in FY25, but we are launching the product in FY24, fourth quarter of FY24. So this means we will not have a pan India or, like, you know, a big entry per se. I mean, can you please give some clarity on this side?
We'll repeat what we've been saying consistently. We are in the process of building 6 plants, which is a large capacity. but and we will be starting our services around the quarter four, and in a phased manner we'll reach pan India, and but we will have sufficient capacity to reach pan India as more and more plants get launched. We don't have to wait for all plants to be ready for a pan India launch.
Okay, so this pan India launch would happen subsequently. So any target that you have in mind, sir, for this, and any particular region, as you were just talking to the previous participant, that you already have all this discussions going on with dealer networks, etc. But any particular region that you're looking for first entrance?
No specific region. We are a pan India player. Our ambition remains pan India. It is whatever is realistically possible, we will move in a very systematic manner. There are no further guidance on specific geography at this stage.
Okay, okay. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have Shyam Sundar Sriram reconnected from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi sir. Sorry, I got disconnected. Just continuing on that paint question, we understand in the initial couple of years, the paint business will need some amount of cash infusion. Now, I have two parts of the question. As per our internal estimates, when do we expect EBITDA break-even and cash break-even for this business? Ballpark, can the paint business be cash break-even by F26 or 27? Is that a fair understanding? And secondly, the second part of the question, if you think of ring-fencing the existing cash flows from the other businesses, how much maximum cash losses should be baked in from the paint business from an outer bound perspective over a period of 2 years? If you can share some perspectives on these lines, that would be very helpful.
I think that's very myopic way of looking at our overall paints business. I think you have to see the big picture, and I will take a minute to try to explain you the larger picture as far as paint business is concerned. Just like Grasim is a very strong player in the textile market, we are intending to become a strong player in the building materials market. And I'm sure you must have seen building material market or overall sector is the second largest sector, which constitutes about 9% GDP of the country. On overall basis, it's about $300 billion. And currently, paint is about $9 billion in size. The building material industry is growing at about, is doubling in about 7 to 8 years time period. But paint is growing almost at 1.6 times the building material industry. And with multiple changes in trends on paint, our expectation is the market will continue to grow. And there is a sufficient gap in the market for a strong national player which can consistently supply material as well as make sure its presence is not only in urban but in rural markets. So we are very optimistic of our results, and we are not giving any guidance as regards specific cash losses. We believe that the market is ripe enough for a second player and large enough to be able to accommodate the capacities that we are building.
Sure, sir. So essentially, you are saying we may not be, I mean, we would be break-even, EBITDA break-even quite early on than I was saying. I mean, that is what it comes out, because the market is large enough for another player. It means that we would not have cash, much cash losses that is on my mind, and more. Break-even could be much more nearer than what I would think at this point of time, correct? Is that a fair understanding?
I will repeat what we have said consistently. Our theme is profitable number two player, and we will make every attempt to meet our objectives and missions that we have started to build our business on.
Thank you very much, sir. Best wishes on this new initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mudit Agarwal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So just one question regarding the B2B e-commerce business. We have about to launch full-fledged business in 2QFY24. can you throw some light, what is the current status and what kind of revenue and profitability we are expecting for FY24? Just a broad-based number, sir.
So, in regards to plan is, I think I spoke in the opening remarks, we will launch the full-scale the platform in Q2 of this financial year, okay? But it will be in phases, in the sense, in the first phase, we will cover two states, which is MP and Maharashtra. Based on the experience, we will scale it up and then it will go for a pan-India launch in a phased manner. As regards to the profitability, we have, I think, initially shared, it is not going to be profitable in the year one. It is the gestating period for the business, but the opportunity is very large, in the sense the total market for the building material is more than $100 billion. The digital share today is less than 4%. So there is large opportunity. We have the kind of network available or the required strategy for the market to tap through this B2B e-commerce tool.
Okay, thank you, sir. Just one bookkeeping question. Can you share the VF by EBITDA number absolute for the quarter?
VF by EBITDA, I don't think we give the VF by VSF separate numbers. For the viscose business total number, we have already shared in our...
Yes, the full VSF number is there, but I
will repeat that VSF, which was negative EBITDA in Q3, is now positive EBITDA in Q4.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Sade from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the repeat opportunity. Just two quick questions. One is on the working capital side, see a huge increase in inventories, not so much in receivables, not so much in payables. So is it a temporary thing, or is it anything specific more got to do with increase in raw material prices, or what could be the reason for the almost 500 crores rupees increase there?
So Q4, there has been some demand slowdown, as we have said earlier also. So the inventory built up is a temporary situation. We hope that this should be back to normal in Q1 or Q2.
Understood. So it's largely using finished goods inventory, which is just a temporary. And second, I'm sorry, but there is so much more interest in paint, so I couldn't help ask this. Is it fair to assume that by Q4 we'll start seeing the buzz, be it advertisements, be it to make it more sound like a large nationwide player is coming? Is it fair to say that by Q4 we'll see a buzz around that, or could be before that as well? Thank you so much.
So, like we said, that we will start rolling out our products in the market from Q4, and we will do what it takes at the right time in terms of creating the buzz. But obviously, our intent is to create a lot of pull in the market, and whatever it takes from, all angles of sales and marketing will be done. But Q4, we will just start the products in Q4. So we will have to time our activities accordingly.
Sure. Look forward to all of that buzz. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just a couple of follow-up questions. Firstly, on B2B e-commerce, so we are looking to have a website launch by 2024, which will serve to customers in Maharashtra and MP. Is that correct?
No, the website will be it will be a universal website. It is not limited to the MP and Maharashtra, but our services we will start in phases. So in the Q2 of this year, we will start with MP and Maharashtra. Hello.
Universal website, so as in you are both vendor and customer, I mean both sides of that platform.
Yeah, we will have the customer as well as, I mean the basically the vendors will be available, whoever wants the material will be able to get whatever the product categories we are offering. They will get all the details. The customer segments, as we have told earlier, will be the MSME contractors and the retailers.
So MSME customers and retailers would largely be located in Maharashtra MP to start with, and vendors from where, basically the sellers would be anywhere in the country.
Yes, sellers will be, I mean whoever can service them will be available on the platform.
And when we say that we are already started to launch like customer support, logistics and lending in these markets.
So we have almost closed the suppliers kind of contracts in some categories. The service providers like logistics also, that is also going on. The final agreements will be reached somewhere in this quarter.
Okay, so it will also consume your like capex or working capital in a way?
Capex is not very large amount. See, it will be, of course, there is a capex going on right now. We have partnered 6 technology partners already on board. They are executing the required technological solutions for the platform. So there will be capex. But it is not going to be, the e-commerce business is not a capex-oriented business, capex-intensive business. We will have the inventories only for the part where the servicing is kind of very, critical situation. Otherwise, inventories will be with the sellers only.
Okay.
Yeah, and just one question on BSF demand and exit of FY23, you said it has been stronger than the quarter average. Would it be possible to quantify the same? Last quarter was like a quarterly loss in BSF segment. Did it turn like positive only in March month that way? And
no, the demand increases every month of the quarter, but then there is a lot of seasonality involved in VSF business in terms of demand also. And like Chinese New Year and the seasons and the spring, all those things play a very important role. So, yeah, demand was good in the fourth quarter, and currently demand is a little bit weaker, but not too much difference. Not a big deal.
But our volumes have actually increased more in domestic segment as our domestic mix have increased 91%.
In domestic, but some in export also.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. These are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Gajra, Informist Media. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Can you please share the EBITDA margin, the total standalone EBITDA margin for the March quarter as well as the year ago quarter and the previous quarter? Thank you.
EBITDA margin for the March quarter, just a minute. So for this quarter, Q4 of this year is 0.4% at the overall company level.
I'm sorry, I did not catch that clearly. What is the number?
6.4%.
Okay, 6.4%. Right.
Yeah.
and year ago quarter and the year ago
for the whole year.
Year ago.
No, not the whole year. The March quarter of 2022.
Yeah, just a minute. Hello. For FY 22-23 Q4, that is the quarter gone by.
Okay.
EBITDA margin, total EBITDA margin is 8%, and for Q4 last year was 13%.
Q4 13%. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, on behalf of Grasim Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.